What is up, Venture Christian? How are you guys doing? Awesome. Hey, my name is Carl, because that's what my parents named me, so that's my name. Hey, I'm going to be hanging out with you guys this week as we are digging into the story of Samuel and Saul. But before we get into it, I'm going to quickly tell you a little bit about me. I'll get more into that tomorrow. But quickly about me. My name is Carl. I told you that already. I am a pastor at a church up north in Sacramento. I know a lot of you guys, youth pastor Doug. Doug, you know Doug? Yeah. I know Doug. He's awesome. We hung out back in May. And then I have a wife. Her name is Jen. I got two kids. One is named Georgia. The other name is Ruby. I'm going to tell you a lot of stories about them this week, because that's why you have kids, is so they can be sermon illustrations. I have been a pastor for the last 16 years, and I love hanging out with students. So I've told you a little about me, so I'm going to ask you some questions, and I'd like you to answer them. But we don't have time, because you guys want to go to the Ark and do other things like that. So you got to have to answer all the questions at the same time, all right? And then I'm going to learn it, and I'm going to memorize this stuff, and then all week, you know, you can test me. Don't test me, because I won't remember, all right? So first of all, tell me your name. Ready? Go. Awesome. Awesome. Yeah, yeah. You just have to say it once. Just one time. Just one time works. Okay. How many names do you have? You just keep saying stuff, so it's weird. All right. Secondly, tell me your I'll tell you mine first. My favorite ice cream is strawberry. What's your favorite ice cream? Awesome. Awesome. That's cool. You know how I can tell? You know how I can tell you're in middle school? You know how I can tell you're in middle school? Because you guys yell about everything. It's cool. All right, last one, so I can buy you a gift. Let's just get into it. Tell me your social security. You don't know your social security. My birthday is June 30th. My birthday is June 30th. Tell me when your birthday is. Ready, go. Awesome. That sounds great. That sounds fantastic. Now, here's what I need you to do. Here we're going to do this. Now, I'll do the name thing tomorrow. So when we come into the chapel, when we come to our meeting together, here's how it's going to go. I'm going to ask you to bring a couple things with you to chapel. You got your notebooks, the guides that they gave you. And then every time you come to chapel, I'm going to encourage you to bring a Bible, all right? Because we're going to talk about the Bible. We're going to have stuff in the Bible. That guy's got the Bible, so he's ready to go, all right? Make sure you bring your Bible. And then, ready? Give me your eyes, I want you to get this. Oh, you don't have to shh each other. Like, I'm gonna just like that. You don't have to shush each other. Here's the deal. Here's what I believe. Give me your eyes, I want you to get this. Right here, gentlemen. Give me your eyes, I want you to get this. I believe with everything inside of me that God has something that he wants to say to you this week. Doesn't matter where you came from. Doesn't matter why you came up here this week. But with everything I have inside of me, I believe God wants to tell you something. Does that mean God's going to talk audibly and you're going to hear God talk like this? Maybe not. Probably not. But likely, God, through his Holy Spirit, it's like we were singing that last song, is going to speak into our hearts and into our minds. And all throughout this week, what I want to encourage you to do, I want to encourage you, doesn't matter if you're a student or even one of the adult leaders here, I want to encourage you to make room to hear God. What do I mean make room to hear God? I mean there's going to be a ton of things that want to distract you from hearing from God this week. It might be the person sitting next to you. It might be the person sitting behind you. It might be like the activity that we're going to do after, or where the activity just came from. But all of those things are going to try to distract you from hearing from God this week. And I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to push all the distractions aside. All the distractions aside so that you can hear from God this week. Adults, you know what I'm going to ask you to do starting tomorrow's session? Instead of hanging out in the back, I'm going to ask you to sit right in between students, all over the room, all over the room. Not to be the police or anything like that, but just so that you can be as engaged so that when you head off to your cabin time afterwards, that you can be hearing the very same thing that students are hearing also. I gotta tell you guys, I've gone to camp in some shape, way, or form every year for the past 30 years, whether it's as a kid, whether it's as a pastor, as a counselor, director, whatever it is. And every time I've gone to a camp, I've heard from God, that God's spoken into my heart. And that helps shape the rest of my year. So we're gonna be quick in here. I'm not gonna go on too long. I'm gonna tell you some funny stories. I'm gonna get into the Bible, all that good stuff. But I wanna ask God before we get into this week, just to make some space for us to hear from him. So I'm gonna pray. Let's close our eyes and bow our heads. Lord Jesus, I thank you for every awesome student from Venture Christian School, Lord God. I pray right now as we get into your word that you would speak loudly to us. And anything that's distracting us, God, from hearing from you, that you would just remove it. And Jesus, that you would do what only you do. You change our hearts, you change our lives. We love you, we thank you. In Jesus' name, everybody said. So here's the deal. So here's a story. You got this guy named Saul who's played in the video as Kale. You got this guy named Samuel who's played in the video by this gal named Selah. And then you've got this person that we haven't seen. You got this character that we haven't seen named Theos, who is God. Now, every time that we watch the video during each session, that is just like an illustration of a story that happened, that actually really happened in the Bible, in the book of 1 Samuel, in the first part of the Bible, the Old Testament. And we're not gonna talk so much about the video, but we're gonna talk about what really happened in the life of Samuel, Saul, God, and God's people, Israel. The nation of Israel, these group of people that God said, you are my chosen people. God says, out of all the people in all the world, you guys, you're mine. And he takes Samuel, and God says, Samuel, I want you to be like my mouthpiece. I want you to be the person that talks and tells my kids, the nation of Israel, what I want them to know. So Samuel is doing what God asked him to do. Samuel's called a prophet. Say prophet. Now, here's the deal about being a prophet. A prophet is a really hard job because you'll tell people, hey, this is what God told me to tell you. But sometimes, most of the time, God's people don't really pay attention. Now, I know that's none of you guys. You guys, I know if I ask Ms. Hall and some of your other teachers, they'd be like, oh no, this is the best group of kids. They listen to everything. They follow the rules. They are the smartest kids on the entire planet, all of Ventura. These kids are awesome. Maybe, maybe not. But for the nation of Israel, these guys had a problem listening to God. They had a problem listening to God's man. They had a problem listening to Samuel. So we pick up in 1 Samuel chapter 12. 1 Samuel chapter 12, and I'm gonna read it and I'm gonna get into it. And it reads like this. We're gonna start with verse 10, and then I'm gonna jump down to verse 19. 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 10, it says this. They cried out to the Lord and said, we have sinned and we have forsaken. Say forsaken. Forsaken the Lord and serve the Baals and the Asheroths. Now jump down to verse 19 if you got it in your Bible. Verse 19 says this. The people all said to Samuel, pray to the Lord, your God, for your servants so that we will not die. For we have added to all the other sins and evil of asking for a king. Like we saw in the video, God's people had asked for a king. God was ruling over them and everything was great. And Samuel was speaking on behalf of God. But then one day they said, hey, we want a king. And they knew it wasn't a good idea. So they said, we have sinned for asking for a king. Samuel replies, do not be afraid. You have done all of this evil, yet do not turn away from the Lord, but serve the Lord with all of your heart. Do not turn away after useless idols. They can do no good, nor can they rescue you because they are useless. Verse 22, for the sake of his great name, the Lord will not reject his people, because the Lord was pleased to make you his own, to make you his child. As for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by failing to pray for you. And I will teach you the way that is good and right. But be sure to fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart. And this is the key sentence for us tonight. Consider what great things he being God, has done for you. Consider what great things he has done for you. Yet if you persist in doing evil, both you and your king will perish. Selah said this line in the video tonight. And it's a key line, and I want us to remember it really all week. And it's this line. It says, to a king, you are a subject, but to God, you are his child. To a king, you are a subject, but to God, you are his child. Now, here's the deal. When I was in middle school, like you guys are now, I was a, nerd, okay? Like, I know you guys see me up here with my skinny jeans on and my jean jacket, and you're like, man, that guy looks cool. When I was in middle school, I was not so cool. Matter of fact, maybe you don't think I'm cool, whatever. My wife dressed me today, so I'm good to go. Like, but when I was in middle school, like, I would just do whatever I could to fit in with people. To fit in with the other kids in my class, to fit in with the other kids in my school. All I want to do was fit in. So we had like lockers in our school. I know a lot of schools don't have lockers anymore, but we had lockers. And it was like you could go and you would put your stuff in your locker, like your backpack, your jacket, snacks, stuff like that. You put them in your locker. Now, everybody else kept like their backpack, their jacket, and snacks in their locker. But me, my locker was like a wardrobe, like symphony. You know what I mean? It was like a walk-in closet. Because I would like go and I would put all these different clothes inside my locker. Like they were hung up on hangers, they were folded just nice. I was a particular kind of guy. And the reason I had so many clothes in my locker was because depending on who I was hanging out with that day was depending on what I would wear. So if I was like hanging out with my basketball friends, I would like put on like basketball clothes. And I'm like, okay, you ready to go play basketball? If I was hanging out with like my skater friends, I'd put on like skater clothes and like, dude, let's go skate some skates, I don't know, right? Whatever. Like, if I was hanging out with like my science friends, I'd put on a science lab coat. You know, beakers. No, I wouldn't do that, right? If I was hanging out with girls, I would put on a dress. No, I wouldn't do that. No, that's crazy talk. But like the deal was, I was just so caught up. I was so caught up with fitting in. And all I ever wanted to do in middle school was fit in. I just wanted everyone to like be okay with me. I wanted everyone just to be like, there's Carl. Yeah, he looks just like us. Because I was certain if I looked like everyone else, if I acted like everyone else, that was the way to be safe. Meaning, it was highly unlikely that I'd get made fun of. It was highly unlikely I'd have to say or do something that went against the group. It was safe to be like everybody else. And most of my life, I behaved that way. And then a couple of years ago, my wife had our first daughter. And Georgia, my oldest, I remember sending her to preschool. And like as she got ready for preschool, I felt like so like anxious. Like I had butterflies in my stomach. You know, I'm like, oh my gosh, like her kid's gonna like her. Are they gonna think she's weird? You know what I mean? Like, my daughter's so beautiful, but like my wife's white and I'm black. So like we make like this caramel baby, right? So my daughter has like, she has this beautiful caramel skin and she has red curly hair. Like, and I was like so worried. So we're driving to school and I'm macking out in my minivan, right? Like this is what dads do. I'm in my minivan rolling. And then like we get to school and I'm like, Georgia, okay. Like you gotta make sure you stand up straight. Like talk really clearly. Like you got your lunchbox, you got your Mickey Mouse backpack. You know, like you're ready. Like, and I look at her and I'm holding her hand. Oh, come on, let's go. Stand up straight. And then I do like the classic parent thing. You know what parents do? Like when they want to clean off your face, right? What do? They spit on it. And they're like, let me wipe the chocolate off your face. I want you to be like a normal kid. And then it dawned on me. This is my first daughter. God had only given us one Georgia. And I said to myself, I started thinking about when I was in middle school, and I was like, wait a minute. I don't want her growing up with that pressure. She's only one specific kid. She's unique. She's special. She's perfect. The Bible says that God knit her together in her mom's stomach, in her mom's womb. So I said, Georgia, you be you. Don't be like everybody else. Don't try to fit in. You want to wear a tutu, a pink tutu, and orange leggings, and a baseball hat to school? You do it, kid. You be you. And now, that went so well that she's not allowed to go to that school anymore. She's homeschooled now. But the point was, we were okay with that. But here's what happened. Give me your eyes, I want you to get this. Here's what happened. God's people didn't want to be unique. God's people didn't want to be special. They wanted to be like everyone else. You see, all the nations around them had kings, like men who would sit on thrones and give orders, and they were like, we want a king just like that. But Samuel kept telling them, like, you don't need that kind of a king. You don't need to be like everyone else because we have God who's protecting us, God who's providing for us. But they're like, no. We want to be like everyone else. Now, here's what I know about being a middle school student. I don't care how cool you're acting right now. Listen. Some of you aren't paying attention, and that's all right. Like, it's a long week. But listen, give me your eyes. If you're going to hear anything right now, you got to hear this. Ready? Give me your eyes. Let me see your eyes. Ready? God has made you perfect. If you hear anything I say all week, I want you to hear this. God has made you perfect. Exactly the way he wants you to be. And God doesn't want you to be like everyone else. God doesn't want you to pretend. God doesn't want you to try to fit in. God wants you to be the exact person he's created you as. But there are kings in your world. There are kings in your world that are telling you it's not okay to be you. There are kings in your world telling you you're not smart enough. There are kings in your world telling you you're not rich enough. There are kings in your world telling you you're not cool enough. There are kings in your world telling you you're not athletic enough. There are kings in your world telling you that you don't know enough. There are kings in your world telling you you're too young. There are kings in your world telling you you're from the wrong part of town, or that your parents aren't good, or that there are kings in your world telling you all types of lies. And you know what I've learned over all these years of hanging out with students just like you? Is that we listen to those kings. And we start to get used to the things they say to us. Even though the things that they say to us are wrong. Even though the things that they say to us make us feel bad about ourselves. Even though the things they say to us make us think poorly about ourselves. But because we've gotten used to these kings in our world, these things, these kings in culture, whether it's something on your phone, whether it's something you see on TV, whether it's something you see on YouTube, whether it's something you see even in your classroom, we start believing the lies of these kings. That happens because when you hear something over and over and over and over again, you start to kind of like let it go in one ear and out the other. See, usually when I speak at camps and places like this, like I'm talking to like kids who are like in all kind of different walks of life. And I know you guys are mostly in all different walks of life, but like your parents pay good money and send you to like a Christian school. So here's what I know about kids who go to Christian schools. Like, you know about the things in here. You know about the things in here. You go to Bible class, you go to chapel, I bet, and it's like, you know about the things in here. But it's taking the words, the stories, the real things that happen to real people in this book and bringing them into our heart and applying them to our life. But you know what happens? We start to get used to hearing certain words. We start to get used to hearing words like God the Father. We start to get used to hearing things like Christian. We start to get used to hearing words like love. We start to get used to hearing things like son and daughter of Christ. And it's like, that doesn't mean much. Or we hear other words. We hear other words like depression, anxiety, greed, anger. And we're like, that doesn't mean much. And words just like start bouncing off of us. Because we become numb to certain words. We become numb to certain things. It's like this, like, you know, I got the kids, and like, I would sing like lullabies to my girls when they would go to sleep. Like, I would sing this song like, good night, sweet Ruby. That's my little girl, that's my 3-year-old. Like, good night, sweet Ruby, it's time to go to rest. Lay your head upon the Savior's chest. I love you, Ruby, but Jesus loves you best. So I say good night, good night, good night. Like, and then she falls asleep. Daddy, I love you. Okay, awesome, right? But then like, I'd run out of songs, so I'd like go old school, right? And sing like regular lullabies, right? Like I'd sing this lullaby to my girls. Rock-a-bye, baby, on the treetop. When the wind blows, the cradle will rock. When the bough breaks, the cradle will fall. And down will come, baby, cradle and all. And as I'm like rocking my daughter to sleep, I'm like, those are really weird words. Rock-a-bye, baby, on the treetop. Why is there a baby in a tree? And where is the baby's parent? When the wind blows, the cradle will rock. Okay, so there's a baby in a tree and there's some sort of hurricane happening. Okay. And the person writing this song is obviously just a spectator. When the bough breaks, whoa, the bough's breaking. That's like the tree limb. The tree limb's fallen, and this guy's just like, write this song. When the bough breaks, the cradle will fall. The cradle's falling. Save the baby. Just stop singing, stop writing, save the baby. When the bough breaks, the cradle will fall, and down will come baby, cradle and all. So let me tell you what's happening in this story, guys. There's a baby in a tree in the middle of a hurricane. The branch breaks, the baby falls down, and the cradle falls on top of the baby's head. And parents are singing this song to their kids. What kind of sick people are you, adults? And then you know what I found this last verse, this last line in it? It goes, baby is drowsy. No kidding, the baby's drowsy. They got a concussion. Cozy and fair. Now listen to the worst part of the story. Mother is sitting in her rocking chair. The mom was watching the whole time. She hates the kid. So I stopped singing that song to my daughter because it's creepy and weird. But here's the deal. There's other things that we... But we hear that song over and over, and it doesn't mean anything to us. But I bet you will never think of that song the same way ever again. And here's the deal. That's what God wanted to say to his kids. That's what God wanted to tell the people of Israel. God said to them, you don't need a king. You don't need to listen to the lies, the judgments, the words of those kings. Because I am your heavenly Father, and I love you just the way you are. You see, to kings, you are merely a subject, but to God, you are his child. So give me your eyes. I want you to get this. Ready? Give me your eyes. To a king, so the king's in your world. You're merely your subject. But to God, you're a son, you're a daughter of Christ. And I don't want you to hear those words and let them go in one ear and out the other. I want you to take those words and the lessons and put them right here in your heart. And when you put them in your heart, I want you to live your life differently because you know that truth. Samuel says to the people, consider this, what the Lord has done for you. And God's saying that right now to every single person in this room. As we begin this journey this week, would you consider, I don't know why you came up here, but listen, would you just consider what God has done for you. And just think about that for a moment. Like, God, what do you want to tell me this week? Because God, if I am your son, if I am your daughter, that means I'm important to you. That means you care about me. That means I don't have to listen to the lies the world's telling me. This week, I want to challenge you just to do that. Because plenty of you here are Christians. There are some of you who are not. But most of you in this room, you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You accepted him in your heart as at a camp like this, maybe last year, maybe at a VBS, like whatever it is. But this week, what I want you to do is I want you to consider who you are to God. Not who the world says you are. Not who your parents say you are, not who your grades say you are, not who your sports team or your dance club say you are, but who God says you are. And that you would just consider that. You just consider, if I am a son of God, young men, give me your eyes. That you would say this, if I am a son of God, how should I treat my friends? Young ladies, give me your eyes. That you would consider this week. If I am a daughter of God, when I look in the mirror, I should be happy about what I see. This week, let's consider exactly what God has done for us. And let's walk in that truth. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, as we begin this journey through the book of 1 Samuel, Lord Jesus, I pray just right from the beginning, we would consider who you are. And in light of considering who you are, we'd better understand who we are. God, I pray that words wouldn't go in one ear and out another this week, but we would know that words matter. And we would be listening for your voice, listening for right words, to take the truth of your word in Scripture and apply it to our lives and live it out in our lives. I thank you for every young man and young woman here. I thank you for every adult leader. And I'm expecting of what you're gonna do this week. We love you, we thank you. In Jesus' name, everybody says, yes. Amen. Hey, let's get a chip here.